What I'm going to do is talk to you just a little bit about the history, and I realize we're running late, but you guys, you weren't going to go anywhere anytime real soon, were you? We're all going to stay after for dinner and just have a good time, so I hope you'll bear with us, and I'll try not to take too long. A couple of weeks ago, Laura asked if I'd like to say something about the history, and at first I was a little hesitant, and then I said, sure, I would, but then I wasn't real sure what I would say, and then the first of this week, Laura sent me a message, and she's already related to you, how she'd asked me to get a questionnaire about Bethel, and she had provided a suggestion in the first couple of questions, and I started working on it, and I enjoyed it so much that I sent it back to her, and I said I would use this as the basis for a little talk about the history. And what I didn't realize, and I'm not sure it was true, I never said thank you for giving me the idea, and I think maybe I ought to apologize because I wasn't sure what you were going to use it for, and I hope I didn't take take it away from you because I kind of adopted it. But I appreciate the suggestion, and I hope the rest of you won't be bothered too much by it. What these are questions about the Bethel history, and they're just kind of like little trivia questions. I hope you found some of them interesting. I hope you looked at some of them. But the answers are in some cases interesting, and I've got a cheat sheet, which I will make available over at the dinner. They'll be sitting on the table next to the church albums, and you can pick them up there and get some more detailed answers. But I'm going to try and share some of these with you. Most of the answers are in your hands now, and you may not have realized that, or many of the answers are in your hands now. Some of them come from the church history, the written church history, and you don't have all of that in your hands. The written church history was started back in 1947. It was added to several times, printed a couple times. The last time it was printed was in 1989, and we keep talking about adding to it. And unfortunately, the compiled church memory took a terrific blow this year when Thelma, our church historian, and Miss Beulah, whose life touched three centuries, that's amazing, isn't it? Both died. And they left us with some gaps in what we know about our church history. I'd always said I was going to sit down with Thelma, and she wanted to sit down and start working on extending the church history, not just with the little facts that are in the church history now about who served when, but with talking about the people and the things that Bethel meant to them. And we never got to do that, and that's sad. But I'm going to try and lead you through some of these answers to some of these questions. Maybe it will help you to understand more about the history of Bethel and make it your own. One thing I'm going to do is I'm going to rearrange these in kind of like a chronological sequence. And I'm going to ask for responses, and if you know an answer, shout it out, and that'll move things along pretty well. Okay. What does the word Bethel mean? Any house of God, Bethel, Bethel. Yeah. What was the significance of Bethel in the Old Testament? I had several, but the earliest one, does anybody? Okay. The minister, when I first started coming here, and it's been 30 years, gave a talk on this, and it really impressed me because I didn't realize the tie-in. Has anybody heard of Jacob's Ladder? Jacob's Ladder? It's something from the Old Testament, they remember, but it has something to do with angels ascending and descending from heaven. Well, the spot on which Jacob had his dream about Jacob's ladder, or the staircase where angels were ascending and descending, he also had an encounter with God, and God established a covenant with him. And so Jacob said, I'm going to build a monument. And he built a monument there, and he called it Bethel, because it was at the on the doorstep of the house of God. And I've always thought that was neat. Now, I guess that was the first time I'd heard that it was house of God, and two, that it related so much to a story that I knew about Jacob's ladder, and that had to do with a memory of an encounter with God and the establishment of a covenant with God. Okay, the next one chronologically is question number 8. Where and under what circumstances did Bethel Church have its beginning? And the answer to that, does anybody, is on the bulletin. Yes, Tom? In 1834, a camp meeting down on the banks of Bethel Pond, the answer to that is in your hands on the back of your bulletin. There's just a brief synopsis of the history that was prepared by Thelma Royce, our church historian, a number of years ago. And in it, it talks about that camp meeting in 1834, 167 years ago. And that's one of the things we're here celebrating today. And the circumstances was a camp meeting. And in the little answers that I've given you here, you'll find out more about camp meetings. Camp meetings tend to last 3 or 4 days. And they were boisterous affairs. They said you could hear them miles away because they were celebrating and rejoicing in the name of the Lord. And one of the first church newsletter this year has an article about that. What has been called the most historic piece of furniture in the Florida Conference and why? The quick answer, what's the most historic piece of furniture? The pulpit. Our pulpit. And I can hear Edna say, Thelma say, pulpit, pulpit. She had a way. Okay, our pulpit has been called the most historic piece of furniture in the Florida Conference of the Methodist Church, and now why? Because the first conference of our first meeting of the Florida Conference of the Methodist Church was held at Trinity Church downtown, February 16th, 1845. With Bishop Joshua Soule standing behind this pulpit and gaveling to order that meeting. February 16th, 1845, and I can't remember, but I think that was just a few months before the territory of Florida became the state of Florida. So this is kind of an old piece of furniture that is very important. When did Bethel Church settle at its current location? And this comes from the back of the bulletin as well, where it talks about the fact that for several years, from 1834 until 1847, Bethel was a wandering church. They have ministers assigned to this area from about 1838 forward, but it met in people's homes, and it met in an old log, well, I don't know whether it's an old log schoolhouse, a log schoolhouse about a mile north of here, and it wasn't until 1847 that a family deeded 2 acres of land to Bethel Church, and it was the land on which the church has now. We've got more than 2 acres. It's been expanded in several ways, but the 2 acres of land were given in 1847, and it says a small frame church was built on the site where the Sunday school rooms are located today, and that comes from the 1947 history. What is the oldest date on a marker in Bethel Cemetery? I don't know. You don't know. I know. Oh, Don, do you know? I didn't, and I cheated. 1886 is getting real close. that's getting real close. I cheated. In 1978, there was a book published called The Cemeteries of Leon County. It was a bicentennial book, and a local historian had got together and gathered inscriptions from a lot of cemeteries. And I cheated, and I went to the church library where we have a copy of that book, and I just scanned down through there and find out what was the earliest date. And the earliest date that it mentioned was 1826, but that was a birth date for somebody. And the earliest death date, which would kind of like indicate the oldest monument, was 1877. And that was the death of a 3-year-old child, Crowder. And I sort of had the feeling that there may have been earlier death dates than that, but I didn't go out and wander to find it. And I leave to you the task of finding those markers. One that has 1877, the death of a 3-year-old child, and the one that has the 1826 date on it. How long has the current pulpit been in Bethel Church? That's in the back of the bulletin. It's been 106 years, yes. The history from 1947 said that it wasn't known. Thelma, who wrote this history on the back of our church, said about 1895, I don't know where she got her information, but she knew a lot more people that had been around here, and she may have also talked with people from Pisgah and from Trinity, but she had the date of 1895. When was the church building constructed? And we know that was from the back of the... in 1909. And we say constructed, but it was never finished until 1945. It was finished inside. When all that time with... Oh, now, did I say 47? Okay. The church history in 1947 says 45, and says it was completed in 1945. And there's reason, when you read this, you'll find out that there's a reason to maybe believe it was 1945 as well. According to that, the altar rail was given in 1946. The two chairs back here were given in 1946 as well by Trinity Church downtown. The altar rail was apparently used with this pulpit in 1845, and that's kind of interesting too. The communion table was given by Trinity in 1946 as well, and dates from, I think, 1899 there at Trinity. It was kind of bringing together a lot of pieces that may have known some moments with the pulpit back when it used to be back at Trinity. But it was constructed in 1909, wasn't finished until the mid-40s. There were interior renovations made in 60 and in 1970. The front was put on in 1970. There used to be two entrances. We used to think it was a men's and a women's. Two entrances, and but in 1970 they put on the single front door with the narthex, and the steeple was added in 1972. What minister served Bethel for the longest period of time, and what is unusual about his ministry? Ah, and we hear C.C. Smith back there from 1920 to 1934, it says. Now, those aren't all the ministers, and so there's a question, was he the longest? He was. In the church history, it has all the people who are known to have served here back to 1838, and nobody served as long as C.C. Smith. The interesting part about C.C. Smith is that he wasn't a minister. He wasn't an ordained minister. He was a layman from Trinity Church downtown. And there was a remark. Where did I have that? In the church history, it says, more credit belongs to him for his heroic and saving labors during this time than he is ever likely to receive. But for him, so far as we can now see, Bethel Church would have ceased to be for that 10-year period when they didn't even have an assigned minister. That's interesting, I think. When did Bethel Church celebrate its centennial? Now, this one's kind of, you know, if we're celebrating 167 years since 1834... you would think it might have been in 1934, but it wasn't. Actually, the church history doesn't say that they ever celebrate a centennial, but in 1947, they wrote a church history that recorded everything from 1834 to October 12th, 1947. And in 1962, there was a picture taken at homecoming that was marked the 115th birthday of Bethel Church. Now, that would have made 1947 the 100th, and that would have been 100 years after 1847. So the feeling I have is for a period of time, they counted Bethel's beginning not from that 1834 camp meeting, but from 1847 when they got this deed to the church, and that the 100th anniversary was in 1947 when they wrote the history, and I think that that's homecoming celebration was the centennial celebration. I'm going to... is there any question that anybody might have really wondered about? There are a lot of... do you have any idea how long that bell has... Yes, I'm sorry. Okay. What is the bishop's chair? Well, I don't know that it's ever been called the bishop's chair, but this one back here, I always thought looked like it should have been a bishop's chair. And knowing that the pulpit was used by a bishop to call the meeting to order, I've always called that the bishop's chair. Now, according to the back of the bulletin, that was given by a friend of the church called John Sullivan. And I don't think nobody knows anything else about that. It wasn't there when the pulpit was used to call the conference. But it looks like it ought to be called the bishop's chair. And does anybody know what happens when you try and move it, Don? Yeah. It's quiet. And... it's only been like that for 30-some years that I know of, and we're going to fix it one of these days. But if you pick it up, yeah, the casters fall out, too. That's kind of neat. Were there any of the others that caught your attention that you thought might have been? 19. Okay. Well, let me mention first about the bell. I said, how long has it been used to call meetings, to people to meetings? And that was a trick question because it's almost never been used to call people to meetings. You know, people seem to be ashamed to... Was it good? Oh, I am so happy to hear that. Good. You know, most of the time, kids will gather around that, and they'll want to ring it, and their parents will be afraid we'll disturb the neighborhoods and let them know that something's going on down here, which is kind of a shame. It's only been there since 1979. The bell's much older than that, but it's not old to us. It's an old bell that was purchased at Paul Breyer's Junk and Treasure Shop just a few months before that 1979 date. And we have it because Aggie Jackson, Les Jackson's wife, said all this church needed was a bell to be a real country church. And so we ended up putting that out there. The last question, I guess Betty said there was a question. Perhaps I ought to tell you how many angels can sit on Bethel's pulpit and why we should be concerned about that. And that was kind of a whimsical question because, does anybody know that? How many angels can sit? Craig was going to tell us. I've only seen three up here. We haven't done this in a number of years, but we used to, almost every Christmas play ended with the formation of the Holy Family up here and all the pieces of the Christmas scene. And the pulpit was just too heavy and big to move around, so we would turn it around, and the back of this is recessed, where I stand up in here. And so that provided a nice manger or stable backdrop, and the Holy Family would sit in there. And then the kids, the angels were always little kids, and they would wander all over the place. And so sometimes they would set them on the pulpit to keep them in one place. And I've seen one on each side and one up here in the back at one time. And maybe one of these we'll get the definitive answer as to how many. And finally, does Bethel Pond have a bottom? And of course children 100 years ago, according to Miss Beulah, were told by their parents that the pond had no bottom. And this was to keep them from leaving the school across the road to go over and swim on a hot summer afternoon or a hot August afternoon. But we know that it has a bottom because most of our kids have walked on it in recent years. Okay, well, I'm going to leave it at that, and I will have answers to all the questions and over there. And I was going to say one other thing.